The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
So, it's our only normal show of the week. Not that we're ever really normal. So, let's just do it. It's a Monday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
Live from the Gal Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE, factory-approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Monday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, the role model, Jong Lee, the master. If you want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like. You are good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jongy Football, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And it's a Monday. It's our only day in studio because going to be a very different kind of week. Tomorrow you're going to get a best of because we'll be traveling to San Francisco and probably drinking somewhere, I would guess.
Yes.
And then starting Wednesday, we will be broadcasting live from Radio Row.
Looking live, folks.
It'll be a little bit different because we'll be simulcasting on YSR at the same time, so we'll be doing a national show. It'll be a little bit different than what we usually do, but we're still going to be our usual a-hole selves, so I wouldn't worry too much about it.
Cool.
It's just there'll be some subtle differences from what we usually do, but a lot of interviews and things. And what we hopefully will do is, because everybody gets all these great interviews when you're out there, it's kind of how it works. Somebody comes around and they sit down and they talk with you about stuff for a while, and then they, you know, pitch whatever it is they're pitching, and then that's the end of the interview. But I hope that we do a pretty good job of getting good crap out of people, and that's going to be our goal. Get good crap.
Okay. So,
what's going on, Mr. Hoffman?
Sports and stuff, man. What's going on with you?
The same.
How was your weekend?
My weekend was pretty quiet, actually. I spent a lot of time at the racetrack, obviously.
Were you successful?
I hit my pick fours, but I lost money on them because it was all favorites.
Oh.
I hate it when that happens. But it was, I was close to a couple long shots, too, which really sucks. But hey, you know, it was fun. Had a good time. Nice crowd out there Saturday night. And then yesterday, I just pretty much stayed home and sat on the couch and watched sporting events all day.
Yeah, that's what I did with most of my weekend. Watched collegiate basketball, and 8-0 on my picks.
Nice.
This weekend.
So very well done,
sir. Made for a good weekend.
Very well done. Yeah, I never thought I would admit this. I enjoyed an All-Star game yesterday.
I didn't watch one.
And it wasn't the Pro Bowl.
No, I didn't watch either.
No, but the way they redid the NHL thing to where it was a little tournament was freaking awesome.
Okay.
Basically what they did was...
So are you saying I missed out?
Yeah, you missed out.
Did I really miss out? Or was
yeah,
it,
you
like,
kind of did.
Cool for an NHL All-Star game?
Well, it's cool for any All-Star game, but other than baseball, all the All-Star games suck, let's be honest.
Okay.
But this one, actually, it was pretty cool because what they did was... They did, like, the two Eastern Conference divisions had a 20-minute game, 3-on-3. And so, with 3-on-3, because hockey's one of those sports that's better in person.
Right.
Where you can actually see it develop. But with 3-on-3, you could actually see the whole game going on. And, you know, made for some really fun competitive hockey. And then the two Western Conference ones played. And then the two teams that won played a 20-minute game in the final, which was 1-0, if you can believe that. One goal scored in an All-Star period.
All right.
But it was because there was some great goaltending. But the cool part was, we talked about this story that the NHL did everything to, when the fans voted in the enforcer,
right,
they did everything to try to screw him. MVP.
I saw he scored a couple goals.
He scored a really nice goal on a breakaway. And it was so funny because all the announcers were just downplaying the whole thing. And then once...
Hating on that
dude,
huh?
They were, man. It was at one point before, somebody said something about, yeah, this will be, when the Pacific plays the Central will win because they actually have real all-stars on their team, and which was just kind of a direct
Not
slam.
So fast.
Yeah. So I have to admit, I was rooting for the Pacific because of that. And, Yeah, and when that then another one came out and said, "Well, the less said about that story, the better." And then the dude becomes the story. So it was a nice bleep.
Nice.
It was a nice bleep you to the NHL, and it was kind of. And then, of course, they have to embrace it. But it was fun, man. I have to say, for an exhibition event, I like the way they did that. I wish there was some way to turn the Pro Bowl into something other than what it is.
Right.
But this was a cool way to do it, and it was a lot of fun.
Very good.
I enjoyed the hell out of it, which I never thought I would say. And last year I ejected about 2 minutes in because it's just like watching the NBA All-Star game. Yeah. There's no defense and it's just pathetic. But this actually was damn competitive and fun, and they were enjoying themselves out there too, especially when Patrick Kane pretended to drop gloves on John Scott. That was kind of fun.
And we've got some good some NBA stuff to talk today.
Yeah,
as
a lot
well.
Of NBA stuff, yeah.
It's wild times in sports, Fred. Wild times, even though, I mean, most of this week is going to be about, you know, the big game on Sunday. And that makes sense. But
there's a game Sunday?
There is one more game of football left to be played.
Bigger than the Pro Bowl?
Slightly bigger than the Pro Bowl.
With its 5.6 rating that it did last night? I was not one of the 5.6.
Nor was I, my friend.
I watched about 30 seconds of it. I flipped over to watch Teddy Bridgewater throw a touchdown pass right before the half, and then I said, all right, that's enough. I can say I've watched the Pro Bowl.
The fact that Teddy Bridgewater was playing in the Pro Bowl was enough reason for me not to watch. So
yeah, exactly. So 713-780-ESPN is your number. And if you want to actually get on the phone lines with us, today is your only chance.
This is the only chance we're going to talk to you this week.
So you'll be able to reach us on the text line.
Even What Are the Odds Wednesday isn't going to be What Are the Odds Wednesday this week.
No, it's really not because... I mean, well, we'll still try to put odds on stuff, but for the most part, it's just going to be, you know, it's going to be whatever the show develops into based on who's out there. But, I mean, you'll still be able to reach us via Twitter, via text, and Facebook, and all those things. It's just you won't be able to call. So if you want to actually have a conversation, today's your only day. So, yeah, so many things to get to on the NBA from your goofball Rockets and Dwight Howard and whining about refs.
Dwight Howard unable to finish games anymore. He just can't. He either has to be ejected or get a couple technical. He just has to.
Yeah, it's what are you going to do?
Not finish games, apparently.
Well, and when he's not out there, he don't really have much of a chance these days. So, but they're still floating around at 25-25. At this point, I think we can say they're a pretty mediocre team.
Yeah. you're seeing... And if you just looking at box scores, you say, oh, James Harden, man, he's playing really well. And it's crazy they're losing games with him playing this well. Well, as usual this year, he's putting up a bunch of meaningless empty numbers, not playing any defense and doing James Harden.
Yeah, this is back to being – and actually, no, I'll take it a step farther. You know, he's not close to last year's James Harden. If you watch the games, you can see where – you can see the negative impact.
Right.
But he's not as good as he was James Harden 2 years ago, 3 years ago. He's averaging more points, but he's not playing better. And he's not close to what he was last year, especially on the defensive end. We've talked about that before. And that's one of the reasons you go from being a team that wins 50 games to being a team that's 500 right now.
Yep.
And is not showing any signs of breaking out of that and gets a coach fired and everything else. It's just... after last year, it's kind of disappointing, but you know, I think that's what they are. And until he starts playing something like the guy we saw last year on both ends of the floor, there's just not much to say about
it. Nothing you can do about it.
No, and you're gonna get this. And I just can't get too worked up over him because I've seen enough of what they are to know that this is it.
Yep.
Suns fired their coach. Had that happen.
I guess if that's big news, I guess. What did you think of speaking of the Suns, Charles Barkley, and his statement that Tim Duncan is basically done being a good basketball player?
I'd say see me in the playoffs. I think.
I mean, he's playing under 30 minutes a game.
He
and
is.
I think that's by design.
It is.
But that's. I don't think. I mean, obviously, I think the days of Tim Duncan being an MVP caliber player, those are gone.
He really hasn't been that for a couple of years, though. He's still been good. He's still a very good player. I do think he also doesn't have You get old. I mean, it happens. You start losing some skills. There's no reason for him to be out there 35 minutes a night. Get to the playoffs, I think you'll see him raise his game a little bit. That's kind of what he always does.
Yeah, and I think that game against Cleveland was a sign of what they miss when he's not there. They need that guy back out there, and I still think he has value to this team. I think he's sort of the guy that coordinates their defense. I still think he's the guy who, he puts guys in the right spot. He's got more experience than anyone. You know, he may be, I think he's the best power forward that's ever played basketball. And
hey, it's certainly, nobody's going to fault you for that opinion. So I would agree with you.
I think this is a guy who, at 39 years old, is he still, and let's also remember, he's making $5 million this year. This isn't a Kobe Bryant situation.
Right.
Where, he's out there stealing a paycheck. That's not the case. Tim Duncan is still, if you told me that for $5 million a year, you're going to get what Tim Duncan's giving, most teams in the NBA will go, all right, I'll take that. That works for me.
Yeah. That's still good value.
He's 9 points, 8 rebounds per game. He's still contributing to the team. He's just not a guy who, even what he was last year. Last year he wasn't, vintage Tim Duncan, but he was a major factor for that team. Even on an offense, on the offensive side, it was almost like a rejuvenation. This year, you're not seeing a lot of offensive impact from him, but defensively, they need that guy. And for the Cavs to do what they did, and here's the other thing. I was looking at the record, or somebody tweeted out the record of what the Spurs are against teams better than 500 on the road.
Yeah.
And it's like 4-5 or something like that. It's not good. And obviously, in San Antonio, they're as good as it gets.
Right.
But
they're not losing there.
If they, and this is why I keep saying I don't see much, and everyone, I do believe that they're the one team that would have a shot in a series against the Warriors, but I wouldn't give them much of a shot without home court advantage. And
which they're not going to get.
No, they're not. And Tim Duncan's a big part of why they, why they are what they are. And I think that Charles Barkley is maybe trying to rush to get that guy out of there.
Well, and I think that's it's easy to start saying, oh, well, he's done. I just think, see me in the playoffs. And if he doesn't perform in the playoffs this year, then I'll agree with you. But I suspect you're going to see, certainly not the Tim Duncan of old, but you're going to see a Tim Duncan that's a lot more productive. And
a guy that brings value.
Yes, absolutely. For sure. Absolutely. No, diminished a little, yeah, but that's going to happen when you're 39 years old.
All right, guys, and not to mention they've got LaMarcus Aldridge, they've got Kawhi Leonard. Like, the future of the Spurs is in place already, and the Spurs are aware and they're using Tim Duncan accordingly. The only guys who play more than 30 minutes a game on that team are Kawhi Leonard and LaMarcus Aldridge. Parker doesn't play 30 minutes. Manu Ginobili doesn't play.
Isn't that how it should be at this stage, Joe?
It's kind of the way I feel.
But when you get to the playoffs, when you need those guys to play more,
that's when they're going
to
play.
Yeah, and that's been their MO as long as Pop's been there.
They've always been. We don't care what the regular season gives us, and obviously this year has been a pretty special regular season for them. But make no mistake, they'll rest guys down the stretch like they always do, because getting the best record in the conference has never been a concern to them, because they've always felt they could do what they do. As long as they're rested up. All right, guys, got to tell you about Gary Trichter. Law enforcement stepping up their efforts with these no-refusal weekends. They can force you to take a blood test. If your weekend sucked because of a DWI, don't despair. There's still hope, even if you failed the breath or blood test the police gave you. A lot of things you should know about those tests. Breath tests, they're inaccurate. They're unreliable. The machine is not even warranted fit for breath testing on humans. It makes temperature assumptions that create artificially high results and then destroys the evidence that it checked, making rechecking and proving your innocence impossible. Same with the blood test. They're not testing your actual blood. They're testing the air above your blood. Very indirect, very circumstantial test for alcohol. Attorney Gary Trichter is a DWI specialist right here in Houston, one of only 4 board-certified DWI specialists in the entire state. And what that DWI specialist tag means is he's experienced in telling the truth about these tests to juries. He's experienced in taking these cases to trial, which a lot of DWI lawyers are not. If you failed the breath or blood test, whether it's DWI or DUI, call attorney Gary Trichter. Put his number on your cell phone right now, 713-524-1010, or visit TexasDWILaw.com. That's 713-524-1010 for attorney Gary Trichter. There's something in your way, and now somebody's going to pay. And if you can't get what you want, well, it's all because of me. ESPN.
97.5. Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number if you want to get in. Hey, two quick things I wanted to mention about that John Scott thing, and then I'm going to put it to bed here. If you get a chance, a great article that he wrote on Friday before the All-Star game, just about who he was and how he got there. It's fascinating stuff. It's like, it's about a 15-minute read. But just if you just Google John Scott Players Tribune, because he wrote it for something called the Players Tribune, very, very good. And one other little factoid, which I did not realize until I read that story. Know where his professional career started?
No idea.
The Houston Aeros.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice.
So I'm sure I saw him play there. I don't remember. But, yeah. So there's it's worth checking out. All right. Let's squeeze on some phone calls since this is our only chance to chat this week. Let's try Jeff. You get to lead it off. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, fellas. Sports as usual.
Sports to you.
Hey, I wanted to talk about Calvin Johnson retiring. It's kind of a bummer, obviously, but I'm kind of surprised. I mean, he never had any, like, serious injuries. I know he's had nagging stuff, but I don't remember him ever having any concussion or any, like, blown-out knees. But I'm wondering if he were playing for, like, a winning franchise, would he have tried to stick it out maybe a year or more, too, or because he's with the Lions and there's not a lot of hope there, he just said, I'm done, kind of like what Barry Sanders did. And what do the Lions do from here? Do they just blow it up and get rid of Stafford too? Thanks. I'll listen.
It's a good question as far as the Stafford thing goes, and I think that opens up that possibility a little more than it would have otherwise. I'm with you. I'm bummed out about the Calvin Johnson thing. He's one of my favorite players ever, and I really think that if that guy had a full career, he'd be in that conversation for greatest of all time, and I know that includes Jerry Rice, and I know that's blasphemous, but he is from a physical standpoint, he's the best receiver I've ever seen play football. Like, as far as having the total package, being 6'5" and running a 4.35.
And just, hands and running great routes.
There's nothing he doesn't do well. I think that you are starting to see injuries affect his play. And you're right, it hasn't been major injuries, but he's also starting to lose some productivity. He's on a team that's not winning, you know, consistently. And I think those frustrations are starting to mount for him. And I think he's also looking at it, you know, the way a lot of guys are starting to look at things and say, you know what, is it really worth it? And Calvin Johnson's made a bunch of money, you know, and he's going to live a happy and fruitful life. I don't think he's one of these guys who's going to go out and, you know, in 5 years, we're going to be saying, oh, Calvin Johnson's bankrupt. I don't think we're going to see any of that. He's a smart guy. He's got it together. I'm disappointed, but I'm not going to fault the guy. If this is what he wants, then hey, good for him.
And the thing is, if he just doesn't love football anymore, why do it?
Yeah,
and with the money he's made, you know,
Would you rather see that than see what you saw out of Andre Johnson last year?
Yeah, and
you don't ever want to see guys go out like that. You know, that's a bummer.
And I'm gonna take the other side on the Matt Stafford thing. I think if he does retire, it makes him more likely to keep Stafford because they're not going to have to eat two monster cap numbers. And they'll now, because Calvin Johnson is going to count $24 million against the cap this year. If he doesn't play, that's money they have. Stafford's going to count $22.
Yeah.
So from that perspective, financially, you'll be able to, I think it makes more sense to keep Stafford and try to build around him. But
I think you're at the point, and you know there was discussion of maybe they were ready to move on from Matt Stafford. If you're going to rebuild, now's the time, right? I mean, because
yes and no. I still think he's young enough that it kind of reminds me of the Philip Rivers a few years ago when he had a couple bad seasons. Everybody went, oh, let's trade Philip Rivers. And again, what are you going to get that's better?
You're not going to get better.
And so at that point, I think you keep what you got, because I think your team is they're better than their record was last year. They got off to a terrible start. They played better the second half of the season. I don't think you're only 2 years removed from a team that was frankly a Super Bowl contender. And yeah, they lost Ndamukong Suh, and now they're losing Calvin Johnson. But if you can fill in some of those holes, I don't see why you can't be in the mix again next year. And if you get a better year from Matt Stafford too, I don't think you're a Super Bowl team without those guys. But I can see them being a 10-win playoff type team,
right,
if they can get it all together. So I don't think you blow it all up. But that's just me. All right, let's try Trey. What's up, Trey?
Hey, what's up, guys? Sports.
Sports to you.
Hey, so I had a couple of comments. First of all, I listen to you guys on my drive home, and you guys get me through with the laugh, so I appreciate it. You guys are awesome. Second of all, I don't remember if it was one of you or both of you that suggested watching Sicario. I finally watched it this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Badass movie.
Awesome.
The reason why I was calling, though, is because even though it might be a little too early in the week, I was wanting to know if you guys had any information about, you know, how the line changes, like you guys say, versus like when the public bets and versus what the professionals bet. You guys really hadn't talked about it since then because you guys are kind of waiting until the week of the Super Bowl. So if you could, I just wanted to know if you had anything, and I'll hang up and listen.
We won't really know anything on how it's played out until Friday, and we'll have RJ Bell out on Friday, and he'll talk about all the trends and things like that and where the money's coming in from.
And, I want to – AJ's the first one that brought up Sicario, and then a bunch of people were tweeting about it this weekend, so I decided to watch it. Very good.
Yeah, you're surprised it's not on the best picture list, right?
It's the best. I haven't seen all of them yet. It's the best one I've seen this year.
I mean, no offense. I enjoyed Mad Max Fury Road.
Oh, yeah, it's twice the movie.
It was an awesome, like, from a visual standpoint, it looked really badass, but there was no plot. I mean, it wasn't a
Oh, but it was about female empowerment. That's what
okay. Yeah. This movie, Sicario, is way better. It's a way better film. I don't know why that thing wasn't nominated.
I agree. And listen, I liked Martian. I thought it was pretty good.
Sicario better than Martian?
I think I do. The only thing I didn't like was that chick was so annoying.
Yeah.
She. I just wanted her to die.
I thought about it. I wonder, like, how would that movie have been different if they'd had a man in that role? But I think they made the right call with it being a woman.
Yeah, I just wish I wish the acting was better from her. Yeah. But Benicio del Toro was freaking tastic. So I highly recommend that movie. All right, let's try Chris. What's up, Chris?
Hey, guys. Quick question or comment about the Matt Stafford thing. I mean, the Megatron thing. What if when he got in retirement, say somebody like New England tried to pick him up, do you think he would change his mind because that's a team that's ready to go and he might could go get a Super Bowl with somebody like him on their team?
I mean, that's not really an option. I mean, if he retired and wanted to come back and play, the Lions have him under contract. They would have the first chance to have Adam. And I don't think the Lions are going to let that guy, go play for the Patriots.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure he'd love to play for a team like that.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if he'd love to play for anybody at this point. I mean, it's hard to say without actually hearing from him, because if he just doesn't want to play anymore and it doesn't matter, then, I think that only thing left for him is to have a shot at a Super Bowl, but that may not be his motivation anymore.
Yep.
And that's fine if it's not. I mean, if his motivation is just, I want to get out of here with my body intact, and, I've made a nice career for myself, my family's going to be set. Yeah, now the bigger question is he going to have enough numbers to get in the Hall of Fame?
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt.
I don't know, man.
Because that's the same thing people said about Barry Sanders.
And
people are going to realize that.
But Barry Sanders still played till he was 30. I mean, it's not like
Calvin Johnson's 30.
Yeah, but his numbers at that position, how we talk about that position being how difficult it is to get in, and T.O. may not even get in on the first try. Numbers-wise, he's not going to match up.
Well, if T.O. doesn't get on the first try, I don't know what they're looking at. Mm-hmm. That doesn't make sense to me. But yeah, Calvin Johnson is in that with Jerry Rice, T.O., Randy Moss, Calvin Johnson. That's the four best receivers that I've ever seen play football. And there's not a fifth guy that's even in the same discussion as those guys. So if Calvin Johnson's not a Hall of Famer, I don't know what the Hall of Fame, I don't know what it is.
Well, I'm not trying to tell you that I don't think he is, but I do think that there's there's going to be a discussion about that. I think especially at that position, when you just look at some of the guys that aren't in and some of the career numbers they put up, it's, you know, it is as much an award for playing a long time as it is anything else, and playing a long time at a high level. Like I would take him in right now over Andre Johnson, but Andre Johnson is
his peers. Is let's say the guys that are going to be looked at when they come out and they're going to be looked at Hall of Fame or Hall of Fame discussion. It's Andre Johnson, Steve Smith,
Larry Fitzgerald,
Anquan Boldin, Brandon Marshall. Let's say those five guys and Calvin Johnson are the same. They started around the same time. They've all had great careers. Is there any question who the best one of those guys is?
Not to me, but when these guys start looking at it and say, well, he's not going to be in the top 25 in receiving yards in his career.
And you're right, because like if you look at the numbers,
yeah, he's going to be
Larry Fitzgerald has better numbers than him, receptions, yards, touchdowns.
Well,
Larry Fitzgerald's not yardage, a better player than him.
Yardage-wise, Wayne, Johnson, Smith, Fitzgerald, Bolden, all more yards. Now, touchdowns is an area where he, you know, some of the, like Andre Johnson didn't do as well
with
touchdowns. We know that.
What's he got, 80-something?
Yeah, but that's what you compare him to. And I think if you just look at that, you're like, is that going to be enough? And I don't think we ever really considered it, because if he plays two more years,
he's a lock.
Yeah, absolute lock.
Another couple solid thousand yard seasons would do it.
Because I think if we're in the top 15, it's no doubt.
Right.
And I'm not saying I wouldn't vote for him, and I'm not saying I don't think he's a Hall of Famer. I'm just saying I think those are the kind of things they're going to hold against him when it's all said and done.
I keep thinking about if Steve Largent's a Hall of Famer, if.
Yeah, those are different era guys, though.
I know.
And that's the thing, because the passing numbers have become so inflated. And I want to get to what Mike Martz said about T.O., because while I think it was a little misplaced, I do think the two guys that he was talking about deserve to be mentioned a little more in this, in Bruce and Torrey Holt.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about that in just a bit. But right now, I got to tell you about my good friends at Vistaprint. And if you've got a business or if you've got a club, and you got something where you want to have business cards or flyers or anything, check out Vistaprint. It's fast, it's easy, it's inexpensive. How about this? If you use my code FRED at checkout, 500 business cards for just $9.99. You can custom design them, the text, the colors, everything. They've got thousands of industry-specific templates, or you upload your logo to one of their designs. You can do your own design. Whatever you want to do, they've got it for you. It's very easy to use, very user-friendly. I've used it to do cards, and I've used it for flyers as well. So there's all kinds of things that'll work. If it's your business, there's no reason for you to go spend a bunch of money to go to one of these places in town when all you have to do is get 500 cards for $9.99 and they'll ship them right to you. And the other cool thing is, if you've got a tailgating club, if you've got a band and you want to get some stuff done, any of those things, Vistaprint can take care of you. Right now, special offer just for the Blitzers, 500 business cards starting at just $9.99. Just use the code FRED at checkout. That is up to 50% savings over their regular site pricing. The quality is great. They're easy to customize, and you can't beat the price. 500 business cards for $9.99. Visit Vistaprint.com. Design your custom business cards. Enter my code FRED at checkout. That's code FRED. This is an exciting offer for a great product, so don't wait. Go to Vistaprint.com and order today.
The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Live from the Gau Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780, ESPN's your number. Happy Monday. Backdoor Santa says Calvin Johnson is a Hall of Famer. I think it'll take a few ballots for him to get in. And Texter says Lions fan, he's not in the top 20 in receptions, touchdowns, or yards. He'll never get in. I think
he's one of those Sandy Koufax types, like where people realize.
Yeah, but the football guys do things differently. The Football Hall of Fame, it's very weird how they do it. And by the way, if you are curious how they actually vote on the Hall of Fame, Peter King's Monday Morning Quarterback kind of explains it. And it's the way the process works, if enough people just hold things like that against you, you're not going to get in. And you know, we're still talking about crusty old guys here. Yeah. So I think he's one of the best players I've ever seen in my definition of Hall of Famer. That's what he is, but I don't have a vote. And I understand a little bit how these guys vote. So I do think it's going to be difficult. I don't think it's a lock. I think if he played two more years, it'd be a lock.
You think he ends up getting in, though?
I don't know. You know what? I'll talk to a couple guys who vote while we're there this week, and I'll have a better idea. Because that's the one thing. I mean, I know a lot of the guys who vote, and I'd like to ask them because, frankly, I'd like to make a case for the guy. Because I just think sometimes it's as simple as the eye test. And if you watch the guy play,
you know,
he was the best of that group that you mentioned. And those are damn good receivers.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're always going to look at numbers now. We were talking about this a little bit, that Mike Martz came out and said it's a joke that T.O. is nominated and Isaac Bruce is not and Torrey Holt's not. I think I would just say if Terrell Owens had ever had a chance to play in that offense, he would have put up better numbers than Isaac Bruce or Torrey Holt.
Terrell Owens is just a better player than those guys.
But those guys,
it's not even a discussion.
Those guys do deserve a little bit more consideration.
They do.
Isaac Bruce is fourth overall in yards. Holt's 14th. I always thought Holt was the better player. Bruce probably had the better career, and that's what you're looking at. But I do think those guys deserve a little more consideration. And Peter King's whole thing today was about, does it come down to Marvin Harrison or T.O.? And you know, he compared those two specifically because Harrison's had a couple chances and hasn't gotten in yet. To me, why not both? I don't know why you can't put two receivers in.
Dude, you're talking about, from a number standpoint, two of the best that have ever played. And I know that, and we're talking about Calvin Johnson, he didn't hit that magic number, the 100 touchdowns. If you catch 100 touchdown passes in your career, you're a Hall of Famer. That's so difficult to play for that long and be effective for that long.
Yeah.
And if you just look at the guys and that have done it, there's now 9 guys who have done it, and two of them are tight ends. So 7 receivers have ever done it. Marvin Harrison and T.O. are two of them.
Yeah.
Give me an explanation why they wouldn't be in the Hall of Fame.
And
by the way, every other guy who has caught 100 that's eligible, they're in. Steve Largent caught 100. Tim Brown caught 100.
Tim Brown forever to get in.
It did take him forever, and I don't understand why. Antonio Gates and Tony Gonzalez are the two tight ends with over 100. Chris Carter is in. He's got over 100. Randy Moss. I assume Randy Moss is going to be in. He's got 156 touchdown catches, but if T.O.'s not a lock, I don't know who is. And then, of course, Jerry Rice. To me, T.O. and Marvin Harrison, there shouldn't even be a discussion, a conversation. Those are open and closed cases. I don't need to hear any argument for those guys.
I think they both should get in. 713-780-ESPN. Von Miller versus Cam Newton, who impacts their team more? Is that a joke text? Von Miller's a nice player, but come on. I mean, the quarterback always has more impact.
Yeah. Although J.J. Watt or Brian Hoyer.
Well, on this particular team, yeah.
Okay.
But, come on. But you're talking about, you take Cam Newton off this team, you're not anywhere near the Super Bowl.
Agreed.
Let's try Justin.
Yo, sports, fellas.
Sports to you, man.
Hey, I just want to talk about two things, both combat sports related. First thing, that Sage Northcutt fight. I know, AJ, you caught it. I don't know if you caught it, Fred. But I got a lot of people saying, you know, he gave up. But, you know what I'm saying? Just to me, look like he kind of gassed, you know. Look like he didn't have no energy after it in that second round. And second thing is, I don't know if y'all caught that Kovalev fight. You know, another dominant performance from Kovalev. How y'all trying to see how y'all think he'll match up against Andre Ward? And thanks y'all for taking my call.
The Kovalev fight I watched. That was Jean Pascal has no business being in the ring with that guy again.
No.
And Freddie Roach should have stopped that up a round or two before he did. That was a just an ass whooping, and you could tell Kovalev was mad at him. And Pascal called him a racist and things like that before. and Kovalev had chances to put him away and stepped back and kind of let him get back. He was extending the punishment. And eventually, you know, Freddie Roach throws in the towel. But the Andre Ward fight is a fight. Well, that's one of the best fights I think that they can make this coming year. One of the best fights I think they will make this coming year. And, yeah, I don't know who will win that fight, but that's definitely one of those. That's one that I'm more than willing to pay for because
yep.
That's two very contrasting styles and two guys who have just looked incredible. As far as Sage Northcutt, you know, I'm not in there. I can't say that he quit. What I will say is, and this is kind of from the beginning, I said that Sage was, he got to where he is too fast. And he never faced an opponent as a pro that was not just like a UFC caliber. He never faced an opponent that was good as a pro. And went to the UFC and they set him up with fights in the UFC, his first two fights that were really good stylistic matchups for him. And to his credit, he took advantage, although he did have some trouble with Cody Pfister before he finished him. But this fight was this was a fight. And sometimes these guys who have never been in that situation where they're losing a fight or they're getting beat up, they don't know how to react. And the only way to figure out how you're going to react is to have it happen. And
yep.
Almost every fighter who comes up into the UFC has been through tough fights before. Andrew Craig won the fight that got him to the UFC against Bubba Bush, who is in the UFC as well now. The fight that got him there, he was going to lose that fight. And he won in the last 5 seconds, I think, of the fight and won that fight. And that's the fight that jumped him to the UFC. You know, Alex Morano, who's in the UFC now, another local guy, he fought against a guy called Baby Monster. I don't know. I can't pronounce his name. He's a Brazilian guy. He fought here for Legacy. And that guy, he beat up Alex for almost an entire fight. And with about a minute and a half left, Alex caught him with a right hand that just exploded his head. But you've got to go through those downs where you're getting beat up and you've got to show that you want to keep getting up and going. And Sage was getting beat up and he was bleeding and it's a situation he'd never been in. He had a guy on top of him, mashing on him, grinding on him. And he tapped to, essentially he tapped to the setup of a submission. The guy didn't have the submission on properly. And there are guys who might be like a world-class black belt who could finish that submission from where Barbarina did. But that guy shouldn't have finished that submission. And it looked really bad for Sage. Then it came out, I guess he had strep throat or something like that. I don't know. I don't know all the answers. All I know is that looked really bad. And it looked like a guy who just is taking his lumps and having his growing pains. And everyone who was defending him was like, he's only 19. Just wait to see what he turns into. And I would have loved to see that. But he probably should have waited to be in the UFC before he started to learn what fighting's about.
Yeah, but you can't blame him for when
I don't blame
Dana
him.
White's going and grabbing him and saying, hey, you know, this is a guy I want in here.
Well, I don't blame him. I do blame the UFC. And I don't really blame the UFC because they made a ton of money off of him.
Mm-hmm.
But the guy, it's his dad who manages him. And his dad, which, I mean, in a way, it's smart because he got him to the UFC. He managed his career to get him to the UFC. So he did not take fights that would have been tough fights before he got to the UFC. He kind of paved the way for him to get there. But this is what happens when that's the way it goes. I mean, you can't walk through a bunch of cans and then get to the UFC and you're no, there's no cans in the UFC. There are none.
All right.
Look at this, my man Aubrey Theodi.
Hey guys.
Look at you,
hey,
Aubrey, on a Monday again, back to back Mondays.
I probably rolled against Sage, you know, 300 times, you know, through the years. He just he just had a blink, you know. He's still a young kid and he's you know, he come up in point karate and we started grappling him probably 9, 10, 11, you know, 8, 9, 10, 11, he started into grappling and he just, you know, had a little blink, you know. He's just such a phenomenon. He's such a jewel of a of a person, and he'll battle his way back.
Well, this is what I was saying. This is a guy who doesn't spar, and that means that there haven't been many times when he's had someone on top of him, because like you said, yeah. He's a point fighter. Someone on top of him hitting him and trying to hurt him in his life. That's probably something that's not happened to him.
Yeah, I mean, I got caught in a neck crank one time by Shannon, the Cannon Rich, and he tapped me probably 10 times with a neck crank. And then once I figured it out, I never got tapped by it again, ever, you know. So it's just one of those things where you know, you're so young, he's so talented, and, you know, you just get stuck in a little position and, shoot, he'll battle his way back. And he's just a jewel of a kid. I love him with all my heart, and I can't wait to see him, make his way back the next fight. And he'll do it. I can't imagine Sage at 26, 27, if he keeps on rolling and keeps on doing what he's supposed to do, he's just going to be, you know, he's going to be world-renowned.
Tell us what you got going on with DFC or the Dirt Free, Aubrey.
DirtFreeCarpet.com, 281 Dirt Free. The real job. I work a real work for a living. I'm telling you, friends, we go into people's homes and we make their whole house different. The carpets are tile, the grout, leather drapes, upholstery, air ducts. We're doing two remote locations this weekend, and people were like, Aubrey, I didn't realize you did that on leather. I didn't realize you used that same machine for tile. I didn't realize you did wool rugs on.
Uh-oh, did we lose him? Oh. Well, he's right. They do pretty much any surface that you can imagine. They take care of everything. They'll do tile, stone, leather. They do rugs, upholstery, air ducts, marble. They'll do the interior of your car if that's what you want them to do. They'll come out and take care of it. Please check these guys out at Dirt Free. If you need your house looking right, of course you want your house looking right. These are the guys to go with. Right now, they've got great deals for you. Hopefully, I can get Aubrey to call back with whatever his special is. But they've always got great specials when he's on. They do Sunday service now, and they're doing it without chemicals like a lot of the other guys do. Give them a call, 281-347-8373, 281-347-8373, or check them out at dirtfreecarpet.com. That's dirtfree, dirtfreecarpet.com.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. The official ESPN 97.5 app is now available for your iOS or Android device. Stream all your favorite shows live on the go, or listen to them at your convenience with our on-demand podcast. Just search ESPN 97.5 in your app store and download today. Don't have an iPhone or an Android? You can stream us on any smart device at the all-new ESPN975.com. And for those of you who keep complaining about the signal today, which we have nothing to do with, get the app.
Yeah, sorry.
That's the thing. There's nothing we can do about the signal, guys. Just some days, John's explained it before, and it doesn't make any sense to me either. So we're having a bad signal day.
Sorry.
People have bad hair days. A couple things from Twitter that I wanted to get to. The Frobius asking,
I even looked up my Twitter.
Where does Megatron rate on the nickname scale?
Oh, one of the best.
Yeah, that's one of the all-time best. Foster asking, curious if you guys think Lane Kiffin deserves another head coaching job. No, I don't.
I don't.
I've never liked that guy. He's always fallen into good jobs. But
he does well with them when he gets them.
Well,
usually for very short times. Yeah, but I think he's better as a coordinator than a head coach.
Yeah, I just don't think he's a good head coach, and I don't think he deserves another chance. He's gotten plenty. And then DJ Hollygrove was asking if you thought the strep throat had anything to do with Sage losing. I just think
if strep throat makes you tap to something that, you know, fighters of that caliber should never, ever, ever tap to, then maybe so.
I would just say if it was bad enough to where it was bothering you that much, you shouldn't have fought. Mm. But, okay. Anyway, let's...
You're not gonna hear me making a lot of excuses for guys. I mean, unless if the referee screws you or, you know, you get poked in the eye and the ref doesn't stop it or there's bad judging, I might give you some, man, that sucks. But
right,
you know, if if he was sick and he chose to go in there and fight, that means he thought he could win. And he won the first round. But like I said, adversity finally got to him, and it's hard to, you know, I don't think he liked the way it was going.
All right, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776, if you want to get in.
Yeah, and for those of you who are having signal troubles, that app.
Yeah.
That's the way to go.
Yeah, that app is great. Check it out. Let's try Aaron. What's up, Aaron?
Yeah, I got a quick question for you.
All right.
So I'm with Calvin, so I'm a little bit biased. What I'm worried about is that in the long scheme, people are going to make the argument that a lot of his stats were picked up here in garbage time. And I just wanted to know if you guys, what arguments you would make against him getting in?
I mean, the argument against him getting in is he's got a short career. And he did not play on a lot of winning teams. You know, it's hard to, when you say the guy played 9 years, it's hard to say that he's a lock. But I just look at him and I say, God, there's just no way that this guy's not a Hall of Famer. He's one of the best players I've ever seen. And Lamont says, what AJ goes wrong with this Megatron take, he's isolating one stat and saying, well, that's it. No, I'm saying that, and again, that's not even the, I just said Megatron didn't even hit 100 touchdowns. I was talking more about T.O. and Marvin Harrison. I think Megatron is it in the top 20-ish in damn near every category there is, and he's played 9 years.
Top 30.
Okay, top 30.
Yeah, he was 20. I think he's in top 27th in yards, and I think 26th in receptions. I didn't check his touchdown numbers, but
he's higher in touchdowns.
He's not top 20 in the two main things that they look at, which would be receptions and yards.
I just don't. I mean, it's difficult for me to say. I just think compared to his peers, he is the best, and if being the best of your peer group isn't enough to get you in the Hall of Fame, I don't know what is.
Well, and again, I don't have a vote on it. I to me, he would be in there, but when you start looking at receivers, and it's the whole argument that we made against Andre Johnson for the last couple of years, and there's some guys not in there that, frankly, I mean, there shouldn't even be a discussion about. So you start adding that up, and I think you can make,
I mean, we can agree that if Calvin Johnson's not a Hall of Famer, Andre's not, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm still not sure Andre is.
Okay.
So. All right, guys. Got to tell you about my good friends at Quick Weight Loss Center. And one of the cool things I'm looking forward to about getting to San Francisco, man, is there's some great parks out there to go running in and do all. And I'm just looking forward to getting out and running in those hills. And you know what? That's something I could have never done if I hadn't gone on Quick Weight Loss. And it was about April coming up on 2 years ago that I went in there. Got 50 pounds off. I've kept it off, and I'm in better shape than I've been in years. And it's all thanks to them, because if I hadn't got that weight off, there was no way I'd still be sitting here probably, because I had gotten too big. I wasn't healthy, and now I've got that weight off, and I'm living a healthier lifestyle. I'm getting out and being active, and it's making all the difference in the world. And I know how it gets, man. You're sitting in front of that computer all day. You don't have time to go to the gym. You don't eat well. And the next thing you know, you look down and say, hey, man, I've got to lose some weight. Well, if that's how you feel right now, you can get 6 weeks for $66. All weight loss services included, and kids join free with parent enrollment. Some conditions do apply. They've got 15 great Houston locations. You can go to quickweightlosscenter.com if you're outside of Houston. They have a home program, so they can set you up with that as well. Or better yet, just give them a call. 1-888-305-1117. That's 1-888-305-1117. Quick Weight Loss Center, 1-888-305-1117.
Is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.